Hello and welcome back to the United Masterclass, a tactical podcast about Manchester United. I'm your host, Haider Abani, and I'm joined as ever by Rob Blanchett. I know it's been a minute, hasn't it, Rob, since we've last done a show, and we wish we were coming back on a better performance, a better result, a better run of form. If you're looking at Man United right now since the Carabao Cup, which was such a high this season, they haven't won a league game or they haven't scored a goal in the league since then. We've got the Liverpool result, the Newcastle result today, and the Southampton result. What we saw today from Manchester United was a really, really poor performance. We saw odd selection from Erik ten Hag, which we'll talk about. And we saw almost a combination of a lot of the issues we've seen in the past with other managers, you know, in terms of going away, in my opinion, going away and playing poorly in important games. Today was very, very important. United win this, they go 6 points above Newcastle. Now we're sitting in fourth place. So there's a lot of things we're seeing, and I think there are concerns going into the business end of the season, but I think there's also things that Ten Hag can fix himself. And I think we'll talk about the selection mistakes, I would say, today.
Yes, right. Well, we've given Ten Hag his flowers and he's deserved all of them, you know, and he's won a trophy already and we fully back Erik ten Hag. Let's put that there first and foremost, because that's the most important bit, isn't it, about the football club. But let's talk about this game and why it happened and why things went the way they did. So we talked there just about selection, which we'll go into a little bit more later on. But I do think today that he decided, the manager we're talking about here, that he was going to go with a front two, a 10 and a 9. Of Weghorst and Scott McTominay. Now, on my other show, obviously on the Promised Land, I did a segment on that saying that I thought that's might be what he does today. And there was a bit of blowback from that saying, well, why? And I just think the whole Scott McTominay scoring goals from Scotland thing might have been very potent in the manager's mind if he's trying to change things up and do things a little bit differently. Well, I think that experiment today totally failed, 100%. We'll explain why it failed, though so many of you do know. There wasn't many things you could do around the whole squad in terms of the team today, and we'll highlight that as well. But I just think United, after winning that Carabao Cup, the one thing I did fear is that they did this. Like, we've won a trophy now, so how long is it to the end of the season? Like, what are we supposed to do now? Oh, we've still got to get top four, haven't we? Well, that's all right. We'll just cruise it. And that's a problem. So, yeah, you've won your trophy. But you know what, Haider? And I've said it before. If you win your trophy, you've won your Carabao Cup, and you don't come top four this season, the season is a failure. So you're now dancing in this wrong dance hall, right? This is not where we want to be. Winning the Carabao Cup only counts if you get top four. And Erik now will need to go away and fix this. Like, obviously, there are things to fix. There are things to do. But as you just said there as well, I think after the Carabao Cup final, we've seen a sharp decline in Manchester United's performances.
I think it's what's concerning, Rob, is that it's only been one trophy that's been won, and it's a small trophy. It was great to win that trophy against a decent Newcastle side. And it's great to win these trophies and to be competing. United, you know, back in Wembley for the FA Cup, cruising really nice in Europa League, but it's a small trophy in the grand scheme of things. And I think that's a concern for me, is that, you know, I think there's a few things. I think there's tiredness. These players have played more games than any other team in Europe. And I think, you know, that is an element that is showing. We have to take into consideration, and when we'll talk about McTominay later on in that midfield, but we don't have Casemiro and Eriksen. They're the first choice midfield pairing. Any side in the league, maybe barring City, would struggle without their first choice centre mid pairing. And that's also something, if we're going to do some forward looking, that's where United, we need a striker, and there are other areas that we do need. But I think United need another defensive midfielder that, if Casemiro, who is banned or can't play, the team falls apart. Every single metric when Casemiro doesn't play is worse off. We score less goals. We concede more goals. We have less points per game. We concede more chances, more shots. And you can see from back to front, there's lack of balance. Eriksen has been such a big miss. And I don't think many other shows, many other people, the media are talking about enough that United have lost progression from midfield. There's no one to link defence to attack. And I think while United have ground out victories playing poorly, you can't do that consistently. You can't do that sustainably. We said this under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, that United kept coming from behind, didn't they, to win games. You can't do that if you want to be a title-winning side. We've seen that with Arsenal, that the consistency and the top performances that they're doing, City are the same. That's where United want to be. We're in very early phases, but the fact of the matter is the squad isn't deep enough. There's not enough quality. And I think Eric has tried to play around with a few things. And we'll talk about the midfield and the number 10 selection, the number 9 selection, which is very key for Manchester United. But there are also things I think he does have, as I suppose I can change, like Jadon Sancho is sitting on the bench. We know Martial wasn't playing. Rashford can play number 9. So there are a few things that I'm finding odd. So look, we'll talk about those tactics. We'll talk about selection, the 9 and the 10, Weghorst and McTominay. I think that's where United really, really lacked quality and almost played with 9 men, to be honest with you. We'll talk about Dalot as well, because he's been poor since really the World Cup, since he got injured. We'll talk about the substitutions again, because it was all just very, very odd. I don't know if you felt that as well, Rob, but the whole, well, the attitude, the tactics, I would say the performance levels, but also just generally, I'm not sure what Eric's trying to do. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think the vibe was all wrong today. So I think that's kind of what you're saying. I think you kind of, when you watch the game, it felt, and it has felt like this, like for a few weeks, and slowly but surely materialising to what we saw today at Newcastle. You're seeing one team, aren't you, in Newcastle United, who really believe that they can get top four and they really believe that they can kick on. And they lost that Carabao Cup final and it stung them, and they're reacting to that and playing better football. Manchester United, on the other hand, are the fat cats. They've won their trophy and now they're a little bit sleepy, not quite doing the work that they were doing before. I don't think for a second that Erik ten Hag has changed too many things tactically, but I think he fell into the hole today of coming off the back of an international break and tinkering. Now, one of the things I think Erik ten Hag's done really well this year is that he hasn't succumbed to tinkering. He's not thought at certain games, well, I'm just going to put this player here and that player there, and he needs some minutes, so I'll give him minutes. He hasn't done that. He's put the best team out to go and win the football match. This was not Manchester United's best team to win this football match. It was not. I know there'll be other considerations, and I'm sure the manager will say in his presser that that's the case. And he'll talk about Scotty scoring his goals for Scotland, which worried me. When Scotty scored those goals, I was like, oh, it means he's going to start and he's probably going to be a 10 or maybe even the 9, that even worse. So the manager fell for it. So the manager did it, and that's on the manager. But we will talk about why these things failed as well, because I do think there is a logic to say, well, yeah, you give it a go. But at this point of the season, Haydar, you don't give stuff a go. Yeah, you just go and do the job. You've got to just do the job. You're at the end of the campaign and you've won your trophy and everyone's happy about that. But your trophy, that little tin pot, you know, I'm really derogatory about the League Cup. The League Cup means nothing to Manchester United at the end of the day. It's a nice little check mark for the season, but it means nothing unless you get top four. So I think that's where we are today. Newcastle wanted the game more. Man United didn't. And I think until we went 1-0 down, United were just a mess, a complete mess from back to front. And I've already seen people on Twitter having a go at Weghorst, and we'll talk about Weghorst today. Yeah, Weghorst is not the best number 9 in the world, but you didn't lose this game because of Weghorst. Like, you really, really didn't. But you did lose this game because of the 9-10 combination at the very top end. And I think that comes from the manager. It's his tactics. And that exposed the midfield and exposed your back four. And the whole thing was a great big mess.
Now, we'll break it down today. Guys, as always, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, turn those notifications on. We will be back more regularly. So please do that. Please carry on supporting the United Masterclass. Give us a follow on at @MainUnitedMC and give Rob a follow on at @Rob_B. Rob, I'm going to read out a few comments here before we go into team selection. So Mark's saying here, despite issues with team selection, our ball retention is awful. It creates so many issues. Newcastle are decent, but not that great. I'd agree with that. Keep the ball better and we win today. They just wanted it more as well. And then Dylan here is saying, Ten Hag got the team wrong again. Everybody was expecting a flat performance. I think that's actually part of the problem. I speak to a lot of other United fans before this game. I think no one was really expecting to go to Newcastle and to win. I think that's part of the problem. So I'm just carrying on with the comments. And Newcastle were good money for a win. We've been poor for the past 6 weeks. Struggle to make top four now. Dismal. I think United will still make top four, but I think that they really need to pick up the performances now. Casemiro, I'm not sure how many games he's got left in his ban. Maybe I think it's one more game and then he's back. And then we need to get Eriksen fit again. So, Rob, let's talk about the team selection. So you can see here, Newcastle went for their 4-3-3. I mean, you can see across the board, pretty much every single player had really, really good performances today. they were the better side. United also went for 4-3-3. I'm not sure why the graphic from SofaScore says 4-2-3-1. But what we saw here, which was quite strange. So back four, as expected, really. If Wan-Bissaka was fit, we were having this conversation, weren't we, off air. If Wan-Bissaka was fit, he probably would have started. Then you had McTominay and Sabitzer. Now, I was a little bit concerned about this midfield, but the thing is, United don't have many options. We know with Casemiro out, is it Fred and Sabitzer? Hasn't really been that great when they played together. So we saw McTominay and Sabitzer. I was expecting McTominay to play as a number six, Sabitzer as an eight, Bruno Fernandes as a 10. You saw Rashford and Anthony either side of the number 10 and Weghorst at number nine, who seems to be playing every single minute of every single game. And you know, it was great at first to see, you know, the effort and the endeavour that he has, and he presses well. But he's not offering much more for me. His hold-up play is poor for such a big guy, in my opinion. And we saw, I know it says Bruno here as number 10, but we saw Scott McTominay as the number 10. We were just talking off air. What I'm not understanding is that the manager is playing Bruno Fernandes anywhere but number 10. Now, I think where me and you disagree is, like, I think Bruno Fernandes is a world-class number 10. Does he give the ball away cheaply at times? Yes. Does he sometimes have retention problems? Yes. But I think that when he's on the ball, he makes things happen. He's United's most creative player. So why are you not playing your most creative player in the position where you need the most creation? And this is what I'm not understanding. So you're playing McTominay there, and we'll drill into his statistics in a little bit more detail, but Bruno's played on the right. He's played as a number six. He's played as a number eight, but he's not playing as a number 10, even when Casemiro's fit. So what does this mean then for his future in the team? That's the first thing I'm going to ask you. And why is it Weghorst at 10, McTominay at 10, in your opinion? Because I'm not seeing the upside and the benefit of playing Bruno out of position.
Okay. Let's try and break this down and sound kind of moderate with it. So I've talked a lot in the last 2-3 months about Bruno Fernandes as the 10 and the issues around that. I got a lot of flack for it. People really having a go at me. Why do you hate Bruno so much? I don't hate Bruno. What do I see when Bruno's playing the 10? I see someone who can give you the killer pass, who can be a brilliant goal scorer for you, who's really good in and around the box. Like, I think Bruno is one of the best in the world at doing that. But as soon as you're outside the box and you're in that kind of area where you can get counter-pressed, Bruno Fernandes is a massive liability. Now, for some reason, this has really, really upset Erik ten Hag, I think. Erik ten Hag is now playing him absolutely everywhere except the 10. Now, this was several weeks ago. And this is, as you just said, then highlighted, this has got nothing to do with Casemiro playing or not playing. When Casemiro plays, Bruno's still kind of playing as an 8, still kind of doing the Eriksen role, which is not suited to what he does best. You saw it today. Bruno, again, running around like a you-know-what. You know, I don't want to say it out loud, but just running around, and you kind of say to yourself, well, this is a mess, isn't it? And I look at Bruno Fernandes, and I have sympathy, because I look at Bruno, and he must be thinking, hang on a second, Scott McTominay starting as a 10 today, and I'm the 6-8. What's happening here? Now, Haydar, the only thing I can explain this with is that this is a discipline issue. Because when I talk about Bruno doing this, I will say it's not that Bruno's not technically good. Bruno's technically very good, but he's indisciplined on the ball. And even today, you saw today 2-3 times, ball pops off his ankle. It happens way too much. And I can only think this is why Erik ten Hag is digging his heels in and not playing him as a 10, because it makes no sense. Like, today you would play Bruno Fernandes behind Weghorst. What is Weghorst supposed to do? I said this to you off camera. What's Weghorst supposed to do as a number 9 when the creative fulcrum behind you in the 10 is Scott McTominay? So I put that on the manager. I really do. The manager makes that selection and that decision. But I think he's digging his heels in because he clearly is not happy with how Bruno plays the 10. We all see Bruno. We know what Bruno does and we appreciate what he does in the box, yeah? But I've highlighted why, outside the box, he's a problem. And what you've ended up doing, Haydar, is you're just playing him deeper and deeper and deeper so he can turn on the ball and he's got less pressure and less chance of losing the ball. And you're keeping him in the game for that reason. I think what this means, Haydar, is that next season, we're all going to talk, aren't we, about buying a number 9. And that's right to talk about. I think he'll also be buying a number 10. Because I think he wants a 10 that does number 10 things in terms of ball control and ball retention. And Bruno Fernandes does not do those things.
So, like, I've had this conversation with a lot of people. We've had this conversation a lot on the show. I think from where I'm sitting, in my mind, I understand and I agree with some of the deficiencies in Bruno's game, and I think there are some glaring ones. But I've also seen improvement in Bruno Fernandes' performances and his quality and his discipline this season when he was playing the number 10 position. Ever since he's moved out of that position, he's looked decent on the right at times. I know we've seen Jadon Sancho as number 10. See, I'd have been happier today if we'd seen Jadon Sancho at number 10, a player with excellent technical security, great technical fundamentals.
Yeah.
And this is what, so this is the problem. When you look at the top sides, and I'm going to say right now, Arsenal are the best sides, one of the best sides in Europe right now. They're up there with Napoli anyway. The technical security from in all those key positions is brilliant. Like Jadon Sancho, I don't understand how he's not playing in the team over someone like Scott McTominay with a manager who likes, one, to have technical security, two, ball retention, three, creativity, four, stronger in possession. Like it doesn't really make sense. So, but when it comes to Bruno, what I will say is that I've seen improvements with him this season. I've seen United a better side when he's at the number 10. He affects games. He scores goals and assists. We know he does that. He's very clutch at that. But I've also seen him be much more disciplined with his pressing. I've seen these improvements. I've seen him be more economical on the ball and not always play the Hollywood pass. Right when he was starting to get better is when Ten Hag moved him. He's had a couple of shoddy performances. We do know that. But I'm struggling to see, in my opinion, many better number 10s than him in the league. You might argue that Odegaard is one of them, although there are parts of Fernandes' game which I prefer to Odegaard. I think he's much better in terms of his ball security. De Bruyne is the other one. Barring those two, I don't think there's many better players than him. And I don't think you're going to find many better players around Europe to replace. I don't think he's a problem in the team, basically, is what I'm trying to say. He's also your captain, so that's not making sense as well, because you're captain, yet you're playing him out of position. So, I mean, look, it's quite possible that Ten Hag could look for another number 10, but there's so many more glaring issues, and he's creating an extra issue for himself by playing him out of position, and then the team looks worse. There's a lack of balance. There's a lack of balance today. There's been a lack of balance for weeks now with the side. We know with Casemiro, I mean, to lose him, we haven't had obviously a masterclass for a while. We haven't spoken about this, but to lose Casemiro in the fashion that we have and the amount of games we have to red cards is unacceptable as well. It's something that he needs to, whether they were soft or not, but something that he needs to improve in his game, because you can't go losing him for, was it seven league games or eight league games or something ridiculous for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the question is, you know, when Eriksen comes back, will he get shifted to the number 10? Will Bruno play out wide on the right? Will Sabitzer play with Casemiro? These are all combinations that could very much happen. But there's a comment here from Mark saying that Sancho lacks aggression. I think that's the main issue. I think Eriksen lacks aggression when he presses as well. I think he's much better deeper, in my opinion, where he can control the tempo of the game, which United lacks. So there's all these variables that we're speaking about. But what I'm trying to say is, after that long, obviously, kind of speech I've just done, is that moving Bruno Fernandes out of position when you've got other issues in the side, it's just creating extra issues which don't need to be had at this time, at this place in the season. Yeah. And Erik ten Hag needs to stop complicating things. And like you said, we've given him his flowers. He's been amazing this year. And he's one of the best things that's happened to United post Sir Alex. But he's making things more difficult for himself. And he's making bizarre decisions tactically and selection-wise, which could potentially hurt United going into the most important part of the season.
Okay, I agree with a lot of what you've said there, but I'm going to tell you why I disagree with the core facts of what you're saying there. The one thing you and me, Haydo, and all of us do not see is training. Yeah, we don't see what the manager is telling these players individually about their individual games, about how they're supposed to improve. Now, to me, this can be the only reason why Bruno Fernandes is not playing as a 10. Yeah, he's telling Bruno, I want you to do this, 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 and this. Bruno's gone, well, I might do that this week. I might do that this week. But I'm Bruno Fernandes. I just do what I want as a 10. And Bruno Fernandes has said that in interviews. He said it. He once said, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer told him that he needs to stop doing these things. And I told the manager, I'm not doing that. I'm just doing what I want to do. Now, you can't do that to Erik ten Hag. So I think that this is why the manager can be the only explanation, Haydar, why he's not playing him as a 10. Because into the scenario today where you've got Weghorst and you've got the use of Sancho and the use of Ante, you've got flair players in that front line, there can be only something to do with discipline of what you're telling a player to do and the player isn't doing it. So therefore you're saying, well, I'm not playing you in that position, because that's what managers do.
But it's hurting the team to not play him in that position and play players who are even worse in that position.
Is he just making a point? This is the problem. Like, we again think short term, don't we? Like, we think about the game today. That's the way we look at it. That's how we should look at it. The manager's looking the next game, 10 games, next year, the future. And I do think that we still have an indiscipline problem at Manchester United. I think it's still there. I think today we saw it. So, like, I think this is the problem, is that I don't really want Bruno Fernandes playing as the six or the eight. I really don't. I don't think he's very good at those things. But it feels like the manager's keeping him in the team, and as you just described it, hurting the team. But what do you do? Drop Bruno and make a big song and dance about it? Because that's the other option. That's the other option, is that you say to Bruno, you don't play. So I think the whole point with the Casemiro, like you just said there about Christian Eriksen, I think Christian Eriksen is an infinitely better number 10 and ball player than Bruno Fernandes. Infinitely. Like, not a little bit, a lot. Why? Because Eriksen gets his head up and he helps the nine in terms of the passing. And Bruno doesn't really do that. Bruno creates and Bruno does get assists, loads of them. But he does that from a kind of almost like a forward role where he attacks the box and comes into the box. He's really good around that edge of that box, plays those short passes. When you look at Eriksen, Eriksen can open the door from the middle of the pitch. Bruno can't do that. Bruno never does that. Bruno rarely does that. So I think this is the thing, is that it can only be a discipline thing. Now, I know we've gone on a lot about this here, but like, why would you play Scott McTominay ahead of Bruno Fernandes in this kind of game? The only reason is because you really don't like what Bruno does at number 10. Really don't like it, because otherwise you would do it. You'd just play him. It's the easy option. I don't think Erik ten Hag is wanting to lose football matches, Haydar. I don't think Erik ten Hag wants Bruno Fernandes playing poorly. I think the manager wants all of that good stuff that we want. But it's got to be something in training that we're not seeing. Just mentioned Jadon Sancho there. Let's be honest about that as well. Jadon Sancho is not in the team because of something that's going on behind the scenes. The truth. Because Jadon Sancho would be in the team, wouldn't he?
100%,
Know all of this a little bit. We know little tidbits. We know little bits and pieces, and we're not here to do a big reveal show and all of this. But Jadon Sancho is being managed behind the scenes, and he came on today, and he didn't do anything. So, like, the manager's clearly not thinking, oh, I'm going to start this guy. I think the Martial thing, you could play Martial, but Martial's got to be fit than he is. He's not fit at the moment. So you're stuck with Weghorst. And, guys, that's it. That's not Weghorst's fault. So I think this is the whole point, is that Weghorst has started those games because he's been the guy that's led your press. And today, the press was a mess. He was still doing it, but what is he supposed to do as a number nine when there is no creativity behind him? So United kind of played in a shape, we'll explain it here as well. With them playing as the nine and the 10, you had kind of Sabitzer and Bruno kind of playing as dual eights. So they weren't double pivots, but they were like dual eights. So one could go, one could come. It's a little bit like the double pivot in years gone by. But Bruno Fernandes, you saw, was really the deepest player quite a lot. Coming and getting the ball off Martinez, coming and getting the ball off Varane. And I'm always scared with that, Haydar. When I watch that, I think Bruno's going to give the ball away. Don't want him getting the ball there. I'd rather he gave the ball away on the edge of the box at the other end. But it's clearly something, instruction-wise, that he's not doing for the manager as a 10. Because the manager's literally gone, I will play you right. I will play you left. You're going to be my six this week. You're going to be my number eight. He's not doing that because he wants to get the worst out of Bruno Fernandes. He's trying to get the best out of the team. So there have got to be reasons. So we can push about it and grate about it and moan about it. But there is a reason why he selected his team today. But I think we can all say that selection today with Scott McTominay as number 10 and Weghorst in front of him was a main reason why you lost this football match, because you could not create through the middle. The ball did not stick. We'll prove this today with some of the facts and stats that we're going to bring up. And I know you all know it because you've all seen it. But more than that, I think this experiment was something that went very horribly wrong today. I think the manager was hoping that if Scotty had a worldie and scored and did what he did for Scotland the other day, that he then might have discovered something. Go, oh, Scott McTominay can do number 10 things for me. Well, I'll tell you what, we'd all tell you that Scott McTominay can't do number 10 things for you, Eric. So you've seen it with your own eyes now, but you lost 3 points because of it.
Let's actually talk about some of those stats, Rob. So they're not pretty reading. If you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify and you can't see the screen right now, we have the match statistics. So Newcastle had 22 shots in total. They deserved to win, unfortunately. I mean, look, they were the better side by a huge distance. United only had 6. I believe that's the lowest they've had all season. 4 from open play for United, 15 from open play for Newcastle. United created hardly anything, and then two have set from set pieces. Not one counter-attack from United. Not one, obviously, no goal. The conversion was zero. And Rob, I'm going to go on to the next slide because I think we all know that, and you didn't have to be an expert to see that United were totally dominated in this game and didn't really even have a spell where you thought, you know, after the first goal, there was a bit of a spell when Martial and Sancho came on. Surprisingly, when you bring on players with who have quality technically, it's no surprise that, oh, you hold on to the ball a little bit better. And I don't think you're an expert to know that. But when you actually look at the match summary, and this is the summary from SofaScore as well, United had no strengths in the game. You know, you saw Newcastle create a high number of chances relative to possession. They're just about right. Look, I watched the whole game. We all watched the whole game. There was not one thing I thought United did well at all. Mm. Not one. Newcastle stole the ball often from the opposition. They're effective in creating goal-scoring opportunities from through balls, effective at creating goal-scoring opportunities from set pieces. No weaknesses. United were poor at finishing, gave them a lot of free kicks around the box. You can see they had a large quantity of possession. This is Newcastle in the opponent's half. Attacked through the middle, had high shot frequency in possession, favoured the crossing of the ball. United just, from start to finish, back to front, just a really, really poor performance. And a bit of a worrying performance when you think about the context of the whole league as well. You know, you're seeing that now Newcastle are ahead of us, same amount of games played. Looking at Spurs tomorrow, if they win, United now at the top four. I know United have a game on Spurs, but that's not the position that you want to be in, especially not so long ago. United were touted to be in the title race. We spoke about it, you know, mathematically, United technically were, but that fell apart. So it's actually like, while sometimes you can say bad performances just happen and they're blips, United have been poor for a while now. You know, you're looking since the end of February with the Carabao Cup. So that's a concern. Now, the only positive is that when Casemiro comes back, United, they are a better side. I know we went and lost 7-0 to Liverpool, Casemiro, but United are the better side. Eriksen should be back anytime soon as well. So when you get your fully fledged team and you get your number one pairing in midfield back, United should be better. But there are issues in other areas. You know, I think Marcus hasn't really looked, I know he's been carrying an injury, hasn't really looked great as well for the last 3 or 4 weeks. We've got an issue at number 9. Hopefully Martial can keep fit. Anthony, I think, actually has been probably United's best attacker for the last 3 or 4 weeks. He gets a lot of stick, but I was surprised to see him come off. I thought he had a good battle with Dan Burn going on. So what Ten Hag's got to do is, it's about results now. We're left in two cup competitions. Top four is there. It could be an absolutely fantastic first season for him, but these players need to also step up, not just the manager, but players need to step up. And I think there is a mentality problem with the squad that we've seen on years go by. And unfortunately, in the summer, you're going to have to buy in players with better mentality and better quality to go to the next level, because I don't think that this squad can do that.
Yeah, I think when you think about the signings this year, and you can look at the likes of Anthony, who I think is a real mentality player, like you see him, like he has belief in what he does, doesn't he? You know, like whether you like him or not, or whether you think he's, you know, statistically the right player for the right side for Manchester United, you see that he knows what he wants to do. Casemiro knows what he wants to do. You know, Eriksen comes in and it's just Christian Eriksen, the same guy we've known for 10 years, you know, a ball player, someone who is complete consummate virtuoso in there, who can do all of those things on the ball. Where, you know, we're talking about Scott McTominay being a number 10 and not being able to do the ball work. We know all this, don't we? Then you look at all of the new players, what you have to do is expand that, don't you? So, yes, you're going to go by number 10. You might go by number 9. You might go by number 10. You might go by right back. You don't know. I think the way we'll talk about DeLow in a minute as well. But I was just looking at some of the comments there as they scroll by as well. And people, again, just I mentioned the discipline side of it. I still think that's a huge part of this. Like, you know, when you lose 7-0 at Liverpool, that's not because Liverpool are 7 goals better than you. That's because you lose your S-H-I-T. I spelt it out. I didn't say it out loud. So that's a problem, isn't it? And you go away from that and then you try and fix yourself, don't you? So we've seen that countless times this year at Manchester United. And I still think that that indiscipline runs through the blood veins of Manchester United. And I think this is where we go back to Bruno and players like that. You know, players who are emotional, but you don't want emotions. You want stone cold killers. You want ice in the veins. You mentioned Odegaard earlier on. It always makes me think when I hear Odegaard, because he's not as good a finisher as Bruno. And he's not as good as an assister as Bruno. But he plays with ice in his veins. He strolls around. He controls. He keeps the tempo. Always perfect. That's what Arteta wants. I mean, that's what Erik ten Hag wants as well. I think he wants someone to control tempo in there. And I do think that, you know, we hope that Eriksen is close now and that he'll come back into the team. I can see Eriksen playing behind whoever the nine is. But I also think, hey, though, you mentioned Marcus there. You know, I don't think Marcus is very good as a nine. He doesn't press very well. He doesn't score his goals from nine. He scores his goals from the left.
Well, he scores. I'd have to disagree with that, Rob. He's scored quite a few goals. We've said this season he's scoring number nine goals. You know, those tap-ins he's getting. We saw it against City. We saw it against, I think he did it against Wolves. So he's scoring those poacher goals that we've seen. They want to see more from him. Leeds with the header. He's done it a lot of times. I just don't understand.
But what's the most important thing for Ten Hag as a nine? What's the most important thing? One thing. What is it?
The pressing.
The press. Marcus doesn't press very well. So it's as simple as that. So you're right. Marcus scored 30 goals in all competitions and, you know, for his country as well this year. That's an amazing statistic, isn't it? 30 goals. But they've all come, Haydar, from wide areas mainly. Yeah, he taps the ball in better. I'm with you on that, like doing striker things. But the one thing that the striker has to do is the one thing that Cristiano wouldn't do, and that's run. So that's why Weghorst has started every game. There is a method to the madness. Now, I don't really want to see Rashford playing as the nine as the end of the season, because I think that you get a worse version of Rashford. I do hope, fingers crossed, that Anthony Martial can do it more. So even if he gives you 60 minutes a game, 70 minutes a game, that will give you just more talent, more finishing. Martial can do the press, like he can. He's not as good as Weghorst at doing it, but the stats show you that he can push in that direction and lead the press and set traps and do all that stuff we've talked about so many times. But this is where you're now at a crossroads, isn't it, Haydar? Because you've won your trophy, you're at the end of the season, and you know that you shouldn't really be in this conversation for fifth. Like, you shouldn't be. You should be third and gone, long gone, into the sunset and the dust blowing up behind you. And we're not. So it needs fixing, but obviously the big things that need fixing are only going to get fixed in a transfer window, aren't they? And we haven't got one coming. So this isn't fantasy football. We can't just drop plays in and out. It is fascinating why he's not playing Bruno as the 10. And I do hope we see Bruno as the 10 again at some point. But I only think we'll see him as the 10 when Eriksen comes back, and you might see that they swap and change. You might see Bruno playing deeper, Eriksen up there, and then maybe the swap because Eriksen plays the eight better than Bruno does. But Haydar, Eriksen's not an eight. That's not his game. And yet we've made him an eight because we go, oh, he can hold on to the ball. He's never played number eight his whole career before last year at Brentford. He's a 10. So ultimately, I think that's where you might see this manager go now in the weeks ahead. And I think the Bruno Fernandes question is fascinating. I know a lot of people think that I get on Bruno's back and all of that. But you said there as well that you've seen enough from Bruno and you think he's improved in those things. The metrics don't support that, Haydar. He does give the ball away way too much in those areas still. Like whether he looks better or not, he's still doing it. And I would like to know why you're still doing it. I think it's a discipline issue. And I think that's probably what the manager thinks as well. But Bruno, yes, I'd rather have him up there than Scott McTominay every day of the week. But you saw today, United were very disjointed, weren't they? And I think there's a little bit of discourse in there. You know, players playing out of position. I saw someone here in the comments put it about Luke Shaw. I agree with that. Luke Shaw got sent off for England and it was stupid. And you're like, what are you doing, Luke? And even today, he gave a yellow card away, some fouls in and around the box. And you're thinking, Luke, we need you to lead. You're one of our leaders. You're about to get a new big contract, mate. You need to play well. So that counts for all of them, Haydar. Do you know what I mean? It's not just Bruno. It counts for the whole squad.
Yeah, absolutely. Rob, let's actually talk about McTominay in more detail. Let's look at the granular facts and statistics. Something I do want to say is that we have had issues in the final third, and we will talk about a Weghorst in a minute, but I actually think that United's ability to play at the back has regressed this season as well. Not from where we were last season, we're better. We started poorly, obviously, then we got better. We've got the likes of Martinez, who's fantastic, and I still think even though United were poor today, he's still putting a 7 out of 10 performance. You know, you look at Luke Shaw, who's progressive as well. Varane, I think there are elements to his game. You know, you've seen United linked, for example, with Kim from Napoli. Really good player. Now, that's a centre-back. I can see why Erik ten Hag wants him. Great on the ball. And when you're looking at Varane with his injuries, or maybe managing his injuries, managing his minutes, Varane is still a world-class centre-back. But bringing someone like Kim and Jay in as well would elevate United's options, because Harry Maguire looks like he's out the door. Lindelof has issues with his performances and consistency. But when you have a look at United's ability to build out the back. It's so, so easy to stop United. And actually, this is where then what happens when United aren't able to do that. One, we can't create, but two, we're also giving away the ball cheaply. We're giving away poor free kicks. Basically, we're putting pressure on ourselves. David De Gea is a big part of it. But the thing about David De Gea, Rob, is today, you know, if David De Gea wasn't playing, and this happened several times this season, United could have been 4-0 down. I think one of the big frustrations, exactly. I think, with this, yeah, so we know with David, United should upgrade on David De Gea. We need a better ball-playing goalkeeper. You look at the likes of Alisson, who is just so good in every single aspect of his game. United need someone like that. But also, you have to give De Gea his flowers because there's so many times this season where he saved us. And another thing that I'm concerned about is that we know that we've got issues in the final third. There's also issues in midfield, but I think there's also issues in the build-up. And I don't see many options in the squad that can fix that. And when you look at the likes of Scott McTominay, for example, you're looking at here, 22 passes attempted, Rob, in the whole game. It's just, I know enough. He came off at around 65 minutes, but it's just not good enough. I think there's one stage where he had 8 passes in the first half and he'd lost the ball 7 times. Just not good enough. You go to Newcastle, you go away at the biggest clubs, the hardest places to play. You have to get your foot on the ball. You have to try and control it. So that's why when I'm looking at what United need to do in the summer, we definitely need a number 9, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But we really, really need midfielders, maybe a Frankie de Jong sort of ilk, and maybe even players in the fullback position. I'm going to say that instead of Dalot, and somebody in defence as well when Varane doesn't play, or so we can manage Varane, who are comfortable on the ball, who can take the sting out of the game, who are comfortable in creating the tempo, who can play out from the back, who aren't scared, who don't hide from the ball as well. Because that suggests to me, Rob, and we've seen this many, many times with McTominay, that he hides from possession and he's not an option. And that's a massive, massive problem. We've been saying this for 4 years or however long he's been in the starting 11. We know that he has limited qualities. Another one is looking at the dribbles attempted as a number 10. Shocking. 2 dribbles in the whole game. So,
but he's not a number 10, is he?
He's not a number 10. But also,
he's being played out of position.
Yeah, but the thing that's frustrating for me is that, and I knew this was going to happen. We saw him score 4 goals. Good for you. Harry Maguire looks like one of the best centre backs in the world playing international football. It's not a barometer for club football. No. And this is the problem, is that United fans see this and they all get excited. A lot of people are, well, why is he not playing more? There's reasons why he's not starting games. And there's reasons why that when he has been starting games, United have had one of their poorest periods in years because he's simply not good enough. He's not the only one. There are other players as well. I was quite surprised Fred didn't start today, to be honest. I think we needed going to St. James's Park. The crowd are up for it. They were, you know, very, very noisy. Newcastle players are up for it. You needed someone in there with a bit of bite. He can press. He can win the ball back. No one was doing that today. Very odd. But the McTominay one is an odd one for me. And I hope we never see the Weghorst McTominay 9-10 axis ever again, to be honest. Very, very poor.
Yeah, I hope so as well. Because as I said, it's an experiment, wasn't it? Completely failed. I don't want to just completely like disagree with you every time, but I'm going to disagree with a couple of those points there. So you were saying that you thought the ball progression's gone backwards from the defence in terms of playing the ball up from the back. Again, the statistics don't show that. Statistics show that we are much better this year than last year. Last year, who were our starting 2 centre-backs? Harry Maguire and Victor Lindelof. That's why. This year, starting centre-backs are better. So you are playing the ball out better from the back. But you saw today exactly why there are still issues. So the problem is, and I saw it was United today, and I was like, it narks me a little bit because it's the shape of the back four of when the ball comes out from the back. But it's all because of the other issues going on in the back four and defensive midfield and those positions. So rather than taking one pass to get out from the back and get into midfield, you're not doing that. Why are you not doing that? You're not doing that because of what's in front of you. You got Bruno Fernandes coming deep as a 6, and he's not a 6. You got Sabitzer running around everywhere, who is an 8, but like just kind of wild in terms of his position and what he's having to do. And then you got Scott McTominay as a 10. So if you're Martinez and you got the ball and you're an elite progressor of the ball, which is what he is, how do you progress the ball? The truth is you can't, because there's nothing in front of you to progress it to. So that's the issue. So I don't think that there is a problem in the back four when it comes to ball progression, because the metrics all show that Man United are pretty good at it when everyone is there. But when you're not there, when you haven't got Casemiro, yeah, of course it goes south. Now, you just talked about David De Gea there. Yep, David De Gea saves you lots of opportunity. He's had a really, really good season. But you could see today, it was more about the ball being played to De Gea than the ball De Gea was playing to the defenders. So I saw it today with Martinez and Varane. Both give really bad flat passes to De Gea. And De Gea's not good enough to deal with that. But is that De Gea's fault? Or is that Martinez's fault and Varane's fault? Well, to me, it's the two centre-backs. Because what you need to do is turn and get the ball to a full-back. It's not... This is discipline, Haidar. You know, don't make the easy choice. Just make the right choice. So I think that there are things still to correct. Again, I've talked recently about United potentially buying a right-sided centre-back, and that might be something you go and do. I've also talked about someone like Gvardiol, where you might even dump Martinez. Martinez might be, yeah, we love him, don't we? Everyone loves Lissandro. But you might go, hang on a second, there's a better left-sided player who can progress and play different roles for us. That's an option there for us. But I do also think the big one is fullback. So I think at right back, Aaron Wan-Bissaka would have definitely played today, but he was sick. So that's why he wasn't in the team.
Rob, let's touch on Dalo now. So we'll go back.
You're
to
seeing with Dalo. Yeah. You're seeing the issues with Dalo in real time. And I was highlighting him around the World Cup and going, I'm not sure about this guy. There's something about him, but he's really got worse. So I almost think he's unplayable. I said 6 weeks ago that line, and I got a lot of stick for that, saying that he's unplayable. I think he is. I don't think he's Premier League quality as it stands. And you saw today, Saint-Maximin just dancing around him. But that hurt Varane, didn't it? Because then Varane was going to have to look after Saint-Maximin because Dalot can't do the job.
That was an odd one. I don't think he's. I'd have to disagree. I don't think he's not Premier League quality. I don't think he's probably good enough to start if United want to go and win the Premier League and win the Champions League. I would agree. I think he's shown a level of.
But that's
quality
what we want, isn't it? We do want to win things.
It is what we want. But I think he's shown a level of quality. Yeah. I mean, as at one stage early on the season before the World Cup, I think he was one of the best right backs playing at one of the best levels in the league. The biggest problem, though, is that the best players, the world-class players, do it consistently. Any player can go and have a really great purple vein of form. And so when I'm looking now, I actually agree with you. And I will actually say that I didn't agree.
Well, these stats prove it.
6 weeks ago, that, you know, when you said Wan-Bissaka is the number one fullback right now. Yes, mad, and we saw it in the EFL Cup final. Dalot had a shocking game. I know he's just come back from injury, but he had a shocking game. 45 minutes in, and we saw that Wan-Bissaka came on and completely locked out Saint-Maximin, like, expertly. It was amazing. We know Wan-Bissaka has issues in terms of in the final third or in the build-up, but actually, he for me right now, if he's fit, and I think he was sick, this is what you mentioned, didn't you, earlier on the show.
Yeah,
he's starting in that position. But... you know, there's a lot of things that there's a lot of things that United have done really, really well this season. But I just think there's certain things that we're seeing again and again and again from the same players.
Yeah.
And this is when you turn around and say, look, they're not at their required level. But that can only change, like you said, in the transfer window. I'm going to go back now, Rob, to Weghorst, because poor, to be honest, today. Been poor a lot of the times. I think the biggest problem with him is that, Rob, he's had so many opportunities to score goals. And he misses. And this is something that surprised me, because when you look at this, barring Burnley, you look at statistics for Besiktas, he was scoring goals for fun. Wolfsburg, he had a good goal-to-game ratio. I know he's come to Premier League with Burnley. Didn't work out for him. But you can kind of say, well, you know what? He's playing for the team that just got relegated. But Rob, he's had so many opportunities over the last 4 weeks. I think it was the Leicester game, I believe. I mean, he just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. So... that, for me, that's what you want your number nine to do. I agree as well that pressing-wise, we know what he can offer. But he wasn't holding the ball up today. And it's not the first time he's done this as well. You know, it's like what's working. When the things are working around Weghorst, I don't see a player that's at the required level to basically, you know, be a number nine for Manchester United. But when I look at the statistics here, I mean, just there's nothing there, Rob. Like, he didn't do anything, really, for that 65 minutes he was on the pitch. So United played almost with a man down. They've done that a few times. He'll probably leave. He probably won't stay, and that's okay. He was just meant to be a stopgap. But the point is that I think Ten Hag now with Martial, you know, with Martial, if he can keep fit, he can do those things that Ten Hag wants him to do. He's got quality. He's got quality, especially in the final third. You saw a few times, you saw when he headed off the line, I think, and then he you know, sort of brought the ball down, went around the player, and United did this really nice counter-attack with Sancho, with Rashford, and with Martial, players with good technical ability. And I think that's the problem with when you play the likes of Veghorst, you play the likes of McTominay, is that the technical quality drops in those key areas. And when you're playing against sides who are really well drilled, that's a massive, massive problem. So all I want to say is about Veghorst, like I'll always say, really happy to see the effort he put in, but he's just not at the required level for Manchester United. And Ten Hag probably needs to now, with Martial back, or even with the idea of Rashford as number nine, he needs to now start putting him on the bench, Rob, because it is affecting. There's been games where he's started and then he's come off. And let's say Garnacho's come on and United have gone on to win the game 2-3-0. And I think almost he's hindering us. This is my opinion anyway, because I'm seeing the pressing, but I'm not seeing anything else. And you can't just have that as a number nine at Man United.
Okay, you know, I agree with you. Like he's not at the required standard. We absolutely all know that. But let's just be real for a second. Like, he had 10 touches of the ball. He touches the ball when the 10 gets him the ball, or the wide players get him the ball, the midfield gets him the ball. That's why a striker touches the ball, Haydar. It's not like he's touching the ball 40 times and having 12 shots and putting them all over the crossbar. He's getting no service. Zero. So, like, this is like...
Today, yes. But we've got to look back at his
yeah, but I think that's the whole body of work. The whole body of work is that he does miss chances, and that's a problem. But he's not an elite finisher. Like, we know this. Like, we go back to the Wolfsburg years, and yeah, he's a 1-2 striker. But we know there's no point comparing something from a few years ago to today. You've got to keep asking the same questions. Why does he start? He starts because we've got no other choice. You just said about Martial. Martial's leg falls off every week. It's a problem. So, like, I would rather Martial was fit. And I think it was always going to be the case that Martial could stay fit and Veghorst should just be on the bench. And that's how it is. Valt Veghorst has started every game since he's arrived, Haydar. And that's not Veghorst's fault. That's Martial, the injury.
No, no. I'm agreeing with you. I'm not saying Martial. Like I know Martial's made a glut. I'm saying that
my point,
there's times Rashford should play the nine, or Bruno as a false nine. This is what I don't understand.
Okay.
Mark hasn't changed him. It's not working.
I get that. Okay, cool. But the point is that Man United got to third and won a League Cup with Veghorst leading your press. And your press did all those things for you, Haydar. It won you games. Now, just because today was awful does not mean that Veghorst still wasn't doing the press. And in fact, if I brought up pressing metrics now, we'll probably see that Veghorst probably pressed more than any Man United player today. So that's the problem, isn't it? You want your nine to score you goals, like a la Cristiano and going back to that. But if your nine does not press, you lose games because of it. That's the truth. So there's the balancing point. So like you I think there you kind of slipped into the old one about strikers, about well, you want your strikers to score. Of course you do, but you want to win first. I don't care if the striker scores. I want to win. So I think I look at it like that, is I totally get why the managers continue to play him while he's massively unfashionable. It's the same thing for Antony. Antony's metrics of goals and assists are not massively great, but when you see what he does in the press and the work off the ball, it's completely obvious why he plays. When Man United fans are going, what does he do? Well, he presses, he helps the team keep their shape. It's so important. So we do need a striker next year that can score goals as well. But I don't think that Marcus, when Marcus has gone in the centre this year, I've not watched Marcus and gone, this is viable. I've looked at him and I've gone, you're pressing is about 80% less than Veghorst. So I'd rather you went from the left and played counter-press and set traps and got the ball and dribbled, and I'd let Veghorst just go and stand between the centre-backs and go and work them. It's a team game, Haydar. So I think this is the thing. I'm not trying to be just contrary, because like here's a point and Rob's trying to be contrary about it. Not at all. I'm just calling it as I see it tactically. And I just think when you look at Veghorst, yeah, he's not your long-term option, but he's been your only option. I don't think there's anyone else who can play the nine. Like you just said there, Bruno playing a false nine. That's something we did shows on, isn't it? And I went on about it for ages. Play Bruno Fernandes as a false nine. He's better in the box. He's not very good outside the blocks. Play him as a false nine. Please, 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 please. But we don't see training. So if we don't see training, then there's a reason why the manager doesn't do it. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like Bayern Munich and Nagelsmann, and he's just left Bayern Munich. Does that mean Nagelsmann's a terrible coach? No. So I think this is the whole thing with Ten Hag. We all trust Ten Hag, don't we? And we feel that Ten Hag's actually got his heart in the right place and a brain, and that he's a great manager and that he's elite and he's going to get even better at Man United. But there are reasons why these things are not happening. And just because sometimes we always go, we don't know why, doesn't mean that there is not an actual tangible reason for it. So Weghorst, like I said, if Weghorst will leave at the end of the season, you've got to go and buy your striker. But then you've got to look at why Bruno's not playing the 10. That's a big question. I don't think Marcus, you can bring him away from the left. What does that mean? Now, where does Jadon Sancho play? So do you sell Sancho? You know, these are things now that I think are going to come on the table. I don't think we're going to see Antony do anything more than what he's doing on the right. I think you've got a big void in your midfield, so you're probably going to have to go and buy a midfielder as well. And, oh, you're selling your football club. Just so many things and it's whirling around. So I think the manager can only try and fix them game by game. What you saw today, unfortunately, with Erik ten Hag was that he tinkered a little bit too much. He rolled the dice and he thought it might work because Scotty's been scoring goals for Scotland, but it wasn't going to work and it didn't work. And I hope we see a bit more of a kind of traditional shape now going forward. We go back to maybe the 4-1-5 that we saw before. It worked so well and seeing Bruno advanced. I'd love the manager to talk about it in a presser and say why Bruno Fernandes isn't playing that position. But of course, we know he's not going to do that.
No, he's not. And I think we'd love him to do that. But I think it also wouldn't be the best thing, would it really? I think.
No, and that's the problem, isn't it? Because you want it kept in house as well. You want them to sort it out between them. But it must, like, if you're Bruno Fernandes, it must feel weird that you're playing the 6-8 today and Scott McTominay's playing the 10. That must be weird. You must look at that and not be happy about that. Yeah, would you be happy about that? That it's playing your position and you're playing his position?
Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it? But
it doesn't make sense.
But there is reasons. It's just that we can't actually say them out loud.
Yeah, agreed. Something here, Rob from Sports Kind saying, I think we've missed Eriksen more than we thought we would.
Massively.
Absolutely. We know Casemiro. We know what we get with Casemiro when he doesn't play. But Eriksen has been huge. And I for one, can't wait to see him come back. But listen, Rob, I've really liked what I've seen from Sabitzer as well. I think if you're going to go and sell someone like Scott McTominay this summer, Sabitzer is a great squad option to have. Yeah. We haven't even seen the best from Sabitzer. I think that's the frustrating thing because he's dynamic. If you actually look at his defensive statistics, he's up there with the best in Europe. So he gets stuck in. But he's also very, very good in terms of his creativity and his ability in terms of shooting, which you just have not seen at Manchester United. It's a real shame because when Sabitzer's come in, he's been thrown straight in. We had the situation where Casemiro was missing those three games. Sabitzer and Fred, so he's gone straight in. I think he's done a really good job in the circumstances.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see what happens when Ten Hag has his full roster back as well, because I think it's important when he has Casemiro, Eriksen, Sabitzer, Fred, Bruno, and I'm going to put Sancho in there as well because he can play centrally in the number 10 position. I prefer him out wide.
He can play there. He can play there, but he's never played there. This is the thing again. Like he had one game, didn't he? We played there, and he played quite well as the 10 recently. But I don't think, like, again, I saw one of the comments saying that he's not aggressive enough. And I do think in the 10, both the 9 and the 10, Haydar, the prerequisite, the number one thing is you must have enough aggression going that way up the pitch. You got to be. You can't be a kind of, you know, street footballer in those parts of the park. It doesn't work. You've got to have that aggression to push the ball. So, I know what you're saying about Sancho, but I think this is the problem now is we've got to a point where Marcus is probably the best left-sided player in the world. I would say that, you know, I think he's absolutely up there. And Antony is your bona fide right-hand starter. So you're again now trying to fit a player in who you bought for the right side under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as a number 10, even though he's not a number 10. So these are the problems you see that you're going to have to fix going forward because you need to buy midfielders that do midfield things.
Yeah, we could do a million shows on the midfield, Rob, because it's what made the masterclass the masterclass, right? The McFred, the double pivot. We can talk about midfielders all the time. But listen, I want to kind of I'll let you finish, but I also want to kind of bring up this comment here from Sports Kind of Thing as well, because I did mention it. Do you think that Rashford looked injured today? Because I think
he is injured. We know he is.
Yeah, like he wasn't playing 100%. And if you actually look at his statistics as well, he didn't have one successful dribble, and he only attempted two dribbles during the whole game.
But I think
he
Rashford
did get the ball as well in the right areas.
I was about to say, Rashford suffers from the same issues that Weghorst does. It's just the main difference is that because Weghorst's primary function is to press, and he does those things even when he hasn't got the ball. He said today 10 touches for Weghorst. He's still doing his pressing work. But I think with Rashford is that when Rashford gets isolated on the left, and I think that's where it was today, Luke Shaw wasn't progressing the ball like he normally does, and Luke Shaw had a bad game. So that hurts Rashford. So I think that's one of the main reasons. But Rashford is carrying a knock, but he played for United today because he's had a week or two off. And they felt that he could do it. And probably, you know, again, I think, Haydo, a lot of these things, it's about the team function as opposed to just individuals. I think it's very easy to highlight individuals in this case, and I know we have to, but it's more about how the team plays together. And that then unlocks the door for players like Rashford and even for your Weghorst. You know, you've got to create for your forwards. But I think the midfield today was a huge issue, you know, in terms of positioning, being dynamic, ball retention and pushing the ball forward into areas where your frontline players then can be effective. And we just didn't do any of that, did we? There was none of that. Hey, I just want to add one more thing, right? I know before we do the wrap, yeah? I said it last year with Garnacho. I'm going to say it this year again with Zidane Iqbal, right? If you want a player who can progress the ball from the middle of the park, who can play 6 and 8, and also do number 10 things. Already at 18, Zidane Iqbal is better on the ball than Fred, Scott McTominay, probably better than Sabitzer, and dare I say it, in deeper positions, better than Bruno Fernandes. Yeah, he won't give the ball away. He just does not give the ball away. And you need that. Kobbie Mainoo is not far away. Kobbie Mainoo maybe not ready right now as a 17-year-old turning 18, but Kobbie Mainoo doesn't give the ball away. And that's what you need in the centre of the park, Haydo. You need discipline. And I think this is where, you know, we just talked at the start of the show about indiscipline. I think this is what Erik ten Hag is trying to mould and change. I would rather he went with one of the kids, Haydo, than play Scotty at 10, Bruno at 6, this player there out of the position. I'd rather see a midfielder play in midfield. And Zidane Iqbal is a midfielder. He played for Iraq recently. There's a big package going around on social media, and I'm not referring to that, but that package shows how good he is on the ball. And he is good on the ball, and he really should be getting minutes rather than Scott McTominay playing as a 10.
I definitely agree with that, by the way. I think he's, I've seen it as well. I think he's a great, great talent. But the other thing I will say as well is that Ten Hag doesn't just give youth players games and game time. And
he'll prove it.
He proves it. And there's obviously, so we talk about what we don't see in training. Pulisic is obviously showing something. We've shown Garnacho made himself a really key player. So obviously, because this is what I was thinking, beginning of the season, we watched preseason when we looked at Iqbal and it was Charlie Savage as well. Charlie Savage obviously down at Forest Green and good for him getting minutes and a good loan. Iqbal was amazing, wasn't he? Really, he's so great at being the ability to turn and swivel with the ball, you know, picking from a deep position. The issue is, though, Rob, is obviously he's not showing enough in training. Otherwise, he'd be playing games. And I think that's a bit of a concern. Not a concern, but it's something that, you know, you'd like to see more, because Ten Hag's just not going to give out performances willy-nilly like that.
He's not going to give out performances, but like we've all said, we don't want to see Scott McTominay in that middle of the park doing that. So do something different, please. So we know there's got to be reasons. Do you know what I mean? And the reason this week was that Scotty scored a load of goals for Scotland, and that's why he did it. And I think the manager got fooled by that. So that's on Eric, isn't it? But you're right. Like we know this is that if you prove yourself in training, Pelestri is a really good example of someone who's progressed through. And it was only 10 minutes ago the manager was talking about getting rid of Pelestri. Like, you know, wasn't interested in him. Didn't think he was strong enough or could do those things. And here he is today coming on as a substitute. But I do think when you look at Zidane Iqbal, there is that feeling with him is that he's also maybe a little bit too sly and can't do certain things. But I think you could have got away with it with, say, a Fred next to him, an enforcer, someone who does run and does work and does have the strength and the kind of power to fight opponents in that middle of the park and then have a ball player next to him. And that is what Zidane Iqbal is. I'd rather that than Bruno playing in these deeper roles. I think when you then lose Bruno at the top end of the pitch, and then what's your striker supposed to do? What's Marcus Berastra supposed to do when the number 10 can't feed him in because Bruno Fernandes is 70 yards away getting the ball off the centre-back? So do you see what I mean? So that's all I'm saying. I do get what you're saying there, and you're right. And I do think that Zidane would get his chance if he goes and proves it. Or maybe the manager just looks at him and just thinks you're just a little bit too short at the moment to kind of give me exactly what I want in the Premier League. That would also be a very, very valid reason not to play him.
Absolutely agreed. And guys, look, thank you so much for all your comments, all your interactions, all your likes and your subscriptions as well. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate it, Rob, don't we, here at the United Masterclass. We are endeavouring to try and bring you as much content as possible. So, Rob, would you like to say anything else before we wrap up?
Can we just go back to Delo for 1 second? Just to get, if you can bring up the slide for Delo, because we didn't actually say the bit I really wanted to say.
Yeah, yeah, go on.
On here, possession lost 13 times. If your right back loses the ball 13 times, you're going to lose. So that to me is the key metric. And I think that Aaron Wan-Bissaka is someone that we've absolutely slated on this show so many times before, going back over the years and saying he hasn't progressed. I actually have been really impressed with Aaron this season. I think he's come on a really long way. He progresses the ball much better. He inverts, like we never thought we'd see that. He inverts and comes into midfield and actually does that quite well. And he's got an attacking side to his game now, but he's also still got all the classic Aaron Wan-Bissaka bit. So hopefully he gets fit quickly, because if he's fit and firing, he's your right back for the rest of the season. I think Delo sits on the bench. We might not even see Delo for another minute this season.
Yeah, no, I have to agree. I think Wan-Bissaka does come back straight into the team. Guys, thank you very much for joining us today. Make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, give us a follow on at Man United MC, and give Rob a follow on at _Rob_B. There will be more shows coming up, so turn those notifications on, and we will see you all next time.